Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Christmas Eve comes from our gospel reading of Luke, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger." In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For unto you, that is the key to this Christmas, to every single Christmas. Unto you, a child is born for you. Make this one personal. Don't think that it is just for the other guy, or the more important guy, or the better guy, or the more godly guy. Don't think that this proclamation, this gospel truth, this little baby born in a manger is for someone else. I mean, he is. For this good news of great joy will be for all people. But don't for an instant believe that all people doesn't include you. For without the for you, Christmas is pointless. It might be a great time of year to celebrate with friends and family, Christmas trees and presents, tinsel and ornaments, cookies and prime rib, but without the for you-ness, all that is here today and gone tomorrow. And so in time and place, God does his incarnate thing, and he becomes man for you. And already he has placed himself in the form of a servant to do his for you stuff, being subject to the seemingly more important figures in history. Caesar, he makes a decree to register all the people that are under him in his kingdom. His is an action that's born out of, not out of service, but born out of greed. Things cost money, and money doesn't grow on trees, so it has to be taken from someone. And so Mary and Joseph make their way to Bethlehem because he was of the house and the lineage of David. They go there to be counted, all three of them, even this little baby, he's going to be counted. The God of all creation is going to be numbered right there as an infant, as a man, as one of us, censused and counted under the subjection of those in authority, even to the point of owing taxes. Caesar, he may orchestrate this census that brings Jesus to his birthplace, but it had already been foretold and promised centuries earlier by the prophet Micah. Jesus is to be born in Bethlehem, in the city of David, whose name literally means house of bread. That there is no coincidence, but a purposeful thing and working of God. For centuries, this town had borne that name, all for that ultimate purpose, so that it could one day be fulfilled in the person of Jesus. For here is the living bread come down from heaven, straight to earth, straight to that town that bears his name. And the shepherds, those smelly sheep wranglers, they're going to find this living bread of heaven placed in a manger, in a cattle stall, in a trough that's meant to hold food. And that there, too, is no coincidence, but just a shining example of who this little Christ child actually is. Unwittingly, Caesar had driven the bread of life to this house of bread, all so that this little loaf could be the bread which gives man life. It is most certainly true that man does not live by bread alone, although the sinner in us would most certainly think so. How could we not? The things that sustain us are the things of daily bread, the things that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, the things that we put in our mouth and wear on our backs and the roofs that are over our heads. But none of those things can actually supply us with real and true life. Men live, truly live, by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And now we have that word of God made flesh. He's the very word that gives life, because he is the bread of life. And by this bread alone do men actually live, and not by any other word, only the word that comes from the mouth of God. And so only this bread, only this Jesus. He could have been born in no other place than Bethlehem, not because the prophets foretold it, but the prophets foretold it because it was the truth. He is to be born in Bethlehem because he is the bread of life. And now the sons of Adam may eat their way out of the curse of sin and death, even as they have eaten their way into it. Jesus the Christ is the bread for men, for you. And in bread, his body is given for the forgiveness of sins and the end of all war. Like I said earlier, this miraculous baby is made known first to shepherds, to the most unlikeliest of people in all the world. The Lord doesn't reveal himself to kings or to Caesars, but to the lowly, to the small, to the insignificant, to those who can't do it on their own. And so to shepherds, the angels sing, showing to them and to all, to us, once again, who this little baby truly is. For just as the prophets foretold about Bethlehem, they also foretold about Jesus being our shepherd, making us, in fact, his sheep. And so the angels are going to lead those shepherds to the house of bread and point them to a feeding trough where the true shepherd, the bread from heaven, the bread of life, the word of God made flesh, can be found. It is there that they will find this little baby Savior, wrapped in swaddling cloths, King of all creation, but a weak and helpless little infant. And perhaps here too is something that should be seen and understood. For if our Savior comes in weakness, then there's pretty good chance that he's going to save us in weakness as well. And so nothing will draw the attention or our eyes to this little baby once he grows up. Apart from the Holy Spirit, nobody can point to this man, this baby in a manger, and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Nothing of him looks the part of a Savior, which is why that understanding must be proclaimed and made known to the world, to us, to you. At his baptism, the Father declares it. At his birth, the angels sing it. At his death, the earth itself will quake because of it. This baby of Bethlehem, this helpless little child of a terrified Mary and an overwhelmed Joseph, is the Savior of the world. He is your Savior. And so unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. Amidst all the other trappings and extra trappings that this season brings, it's truly only about Jesus and Jesus for you. And the amazing thing about this Savior is that he doesn't play favorites. He's the Savior of the rich as much as he is the Savior of the poor. He's the Savior of those who have the catechism memorized front to back, and he's the Savior to the one who doesn't even know what a catechism is. Jesus is a Savior for the every single Sunday church attendee and for the one who only ever sits in the pew because you promised your parents this coming evening would be part of your Christmas gift. He doesn't care if you have your life completely put together or if it's in shambles. He doesn't care if you give more than 10% in the offering plate or if you barely drop 2 pennies. He doesn't care if you feel worthy. He doesn't feel if you feel unloved. If everyone else hates you, if those closest to you can't stand you, none of that matters to this babe of Bethlehem. For he has come to be a Savior, and a Savior can only be a Savior if he actually saves from something and saves you. And that he most certainly does. This baby of Christmas, the one whom the shepherds will find in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths, found himself there, placed himself there so that he could one day grow up and be found swaddled in all of your sin. The sin that you can't take off of yourself, he's already taken off of you. The shame that you can hardly bear, he's already borne it all, clothed himself with it on the cross. The guilt of past sin, the consequences of which promise to follow you until the day that you die, he's already been declared guilty of it by God himself. So that when you close your eyes that very last time, you won't have to stand before your heavenly Father as anything other than his child. And the death of that which we speak, that death which scares you and haunts you, the death that steals away your loved ones, that too is something that your Savior has dealt with. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. The tomb is not your final resting place. The grave is not your home. Salvation has come, and it has come in the person of Christ, the baby of Bethlehem, the bread of life, the bread come down from heaven, the shepherd of God's sheep, the lamb that has been slain since the foundation of the world. And in only a few short minutes, we get to come to our very own little Bethlehem, our very own house of bread, right here at this very altar. But tonight, maybe we shouldn't see it so much as an altar as we should see it as a manger. Right here is your very own manger, and we, like the shepherds, get to come and kneel before our Savior, the one who brings peace on this earth. The only difference between us and the shepherds, though, is that we're not kneeling this evening as a form of adoration, but we're kneeling so that our Savior might be that very bread of life. As I said earlier, let us eat our way out of the sin and shame and death that we have eaten our way into. Let us be fed with the very bread that comes down from heaven as Christ, our Savior, places his body upon our tongue for the forgiveness of sins and pours the blood of the covenant, the very blood that he shed on the cross, down our throats for the strengthening of our faith and the assurance that we have a for you Savior. This very Christmas. So much is he for you, that he was born for you, and he lived a perfect life for you, and he died on the cross for you, and he rose from the dead for you, and he had everything placed under his feet for you, and he's promised to come again for you, and he comes this very night for you in word and sacrament. Make this Christmas personal. Don't think that it's for the other guy, or the more important guy, or the better guy, or the more godly guy. Yes, of course, it is for them as well, and we should never stop telling them, just like the angels did the shepherds. But it is also, it is most certainly for you. In the name of Jesus.